Well, this morning I want to talk to you about basically a how-to on door-to-door evangelism. How to do door-to-door evangelism. This is not the only prescribed way. This is not the only pattern seen in the New Testament or anything like that. This is just a way of sharing the gospel. I know even Pastor Brian has a little bit of a different approach than this. But this is something that is very helpful for me when I have the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody, whether it be door to door, whether I'm in the grocery store, or whether I'm on the seminary campus, which was interesting. This week, I had a really unique privilege in getting to share the gospel with a young man named Dino. I was just there at class a little bit early, and as I was getting ready to head up to my classroom, there was a young man looking for the coffee shop that's there at Grace Church now. And so I was able to direct him over there, asked him if he had, you know, went to church anywhere. He said he was Catholic, and so I just waited around until his until he got his coffee, and then just took the opportunity to sit down and share the gospel with him and get to talk with him. And it was just interesting, the encounter that I had with him really kind of nailed some things down in my own mind as far as how I would approach on a most regular basis how to do door-to-door evangelism. One of the it was really unique. I had the opportunity to just ask him where he goes to church, what he believes in, what's going on in his life. And then I asked him the question, you know, if you were to die today and you were to stand before God and he were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say to him? And from there, he went on to talk about all these, he was 18 years old, all these different really good things he had done for people, and all of these accomplishments that he had made in his own life. He was one who left home when he was 16, according to his story. I don't know where he was from. I think Oregon or Washington. Anyways, he was in a situation that he hated and had come to kind of the end of his desire to live and went to shoot himself in the head, and the gun did not fire. And from that time on, he took that as, okay, God, you have something more for me in this life. And so he's seen it as his duty to try and find every way possible to help others. He seemed like a pretty self-sufficient young man, but it was just a really interesting conversation. In that, so as he said all of those things, at the end of him explaining where he was at, what he thought God's standard was, why he thought he would get to go into heaven, because he said, yeah, I definitely think I'll be there. He's like, because I can look out at all the other religions and others who profess to be Christians, and I do a whole lot better than what I see other Christians doing. On the side note, as he said, he regularly had slept with his girlfriend and smoked marijuana as much as he possibly could. But that was a side note that he kind of threw in at the end. Anyways, so after that, I just expressed to him, so you believe that God's standard is all of the good things that you have done for whoever you might have done good things for. So for all these accomplishments that you've had in this life, you believe that that is God's standard as to why he would let you in to his heaven. And we'll talk more about that conversation, especially when we get to a certain point in this talk this morning. But it was just a very unique privilege that I had, because we got to go through the entire gospel, a call to repentance, and I'll give you more on that. With that, I want to give you four things that you need to keep in mind this morning as you go door-to-door evangelism. So four things that you need to keep in mind as you have opportunity to share the gospel door-to-door in these next three outings that we'll do, or if you were to meet somebody in the grocery store or somebody you come in contact with regularly. Four things to keep in mind. First of all, is you need to keep in mind to pray. Be prayerful. Be prayerful. As I'm walking from each door, practically speaking, I am either, normally there's a person with me, and so I am praying with that person, asking them, or just asking God for grace. Grace for me, grace for the opportunity, and strength to proclaim His truth at the next door that I'm going to come to. Praying for grace for the person whom I'm going to be speaking to, that God would open their eyes and their mind to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The opportunity to even just proclaim Christ, that they would be willing to at least listen so that I could proclaim the name of Christ. I want to be praying for wisdom as I'm going door to door, praying for God's wisdom on how to answer maybe each objection that the person might have on the doorstep. And just asking God to give me the right wording to say, the scripture to go to. I'll have a plan for what scripture I want to use, but the scripture to use in maybe that unique situation for that person that I would be talking to. Praying for boldness, that I would not wimp out, that I would indeed go to the door and ask them where they stand before God so that I can be faithful to present the gospel to them. And I want to be praying for a heart of compassion. My tone, when we present the gospel, we want it to be gracious and kind. It can be bold. It can be blunt. It can express things like, you are a sinner and you need a Savior. You must repent or God will send you to the lake of fire forever. Those things do come out of our mouths. But there's a graciousness, there's a compassion inside of our hearts for these people. And I just want to be praying those types of things so that I'm ready to go when I get to that doorstep. It may only be about 30 seconds till I get to that next door, but these are the types of things that I'm constantly asking God to help me with as I get ready to go and proclaim Christ to the next person. Secondly, we need to keep in mind to be respectful. Be respectful. We need to be respectful. When we get to the door, we go up, we introduce ourselves, introduce the person that is with us, whoever's talking. And, you know, ask them for a few minutes of their time. Ask them for the opportunity to share Christ's message with them. And you just have something you would like to talk to them about. If they say no, thank them for their time and be on your way. We're not there to thump them with the Bible. We're not there to try and force them to listen to us. We can't say some magical thing that would convince them to want to listen or to give their lives to Christ. I mean, we can say the truth that the Holy Spirit uses to grip their hearts, but we can't force them to listen to us. We're coming to their doorstep on their home turf, and so we want to be as respectful and as gentle and as kind as we can be. And in that, I just like to keep in mind that God is sovereign. If this young person or old person, if this lady, this man does not want to listen to me, then that is all within God's sovereignty. And so I'm looking to be as respectful as possible. One of the reasons is because it's the kindness of the Lord that leads people to repentance. If you look at Romans chapter 2 with me, And I'll just kind of be going from different passages just to read on the basis as to why I would do certain things. Romans 2, verse 4. I'll read from verse 3. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? It is God's kindness that led us to repentance. It is His great mercy and His great love that He lavished upon us by the sacrifice of His Son on the cross on our behalf. We repent because He has been so kind to us. That's one of the things that leads us to repentance. And so we want to be kind as His ambassadors, as Christ's ambassadors. Again, we're not there to Bible thump. We're not there to win arguments. We're there to win souls. And we want to have the type of compassion that would be characteristic even of Jesus Christ, as He would help those who were in need. There may be times where we give harsh words, yet still in a kind tone to those who maybe, if you run into Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses, those who would preach and proclaim false doctrine, maybe we can label them the same way that the New Testament and even the Old Testament labeled false prophets. But we want to be kind. We want to be gracious. We want to have a heart of compassion. Now, just as a side note, being respectful does not mean that we're apologetic, and I mean that in the negative sense. Yes, we want to be apologetic as far as defending the gospel when we have the opportunity, but we're not there saying, knocking on the door, and as they come, oh, sorry to bother you, but can I just have a second of your time? If you just give me a minute, then I'll be on my way and out of your way. That's not necessarily being respectful. We don't have to feel bad for what we're doing there. We don't have to feel like we are bothering them. We're there to proclaim to them the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. We're there to be unashamed of the message that we have. We are ambassadors of the King. If you would, just look at 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, and verse 20. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. I love this verse. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. We are ambassadors for Christ. So we're not sorry that we have stepped on their door. We are coming to them with the message that could transform their life, that could give them eternal life. We are longing to be there for them. And so we want to be bold. We want to be clear. We want to be compassionate. We are there in the greatest act of love, really, that we could be doing in this life. We're giving them the message that could save them for all eternity. We want to care more about their souls than they do about their TV show or their football game or whatever they got going on that afternoon. We long to see them come to Christ. And so we're not saying sorry that we're here, or we'll just say a few things then we'll get out of your way. No, we're there with a message, and it's a message from Christ Himself. And we want to proclaim that boldly. Not only do we want to be prayerful as we are going door to door and respectful, but we want to keep in mind to ask questions. We want to keep in mind to ask questions. This is, asking questions gives us the great opportunity to see where those people are, to see what they believe, to see what they think God's standard is, and to meet them right where they are with the gospel of Jesus Christ in their life. So some of the questions that you could ask is, do you go to church? And if they say yes, then ask them where. Ask them how often they have the opportunity to attend, or are they participating? Oftentimes you'll get the answer, yeah, I go to church, or I'm a Catholic. I don't go all the time, but I go every once in a while. Or Mormons who would go week after week. Jehovah's Witnesses, they'll be glad to talk with you about their religion. But it gives you an opportunity to kind of see where they are, how they value church, or what they think about Christ. You can ask them, do you know Jesus Christ? What do you know about Jesus? Have you heard anything about Jesus? And as the conversation lends itself, then you're looking to ask them this question, I think from the guy who did Evangelism Explosion. I've just used this, but I didn't know exactly who it came from. But, you know, if you were to die today and stand before God, and he asks you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? And that presents the opportunity right there. As I was talking with you about the young man Dino, they have the opportunity then to say, this is what I think God's standard is for me. And the issue, you got to be listening for this, the issue for those who have not repented and given themselves to Jesus Christ, the issue is always that they believe that they are good enough. Doesn't matter how wicked they might be as a human being, they always, the issue is, if they think they're going to heaven, it's because they think in and of themselves they are good enough. I was blown away the first time and the second time I went down to Acton with David, at men sitting in that situation. I mean, they're there for a reason. And yet, in discussion with a couple of them afterwards, every single one of them thought, because of the fact that they were coming to this church service, or that they prayed a prayer, or they had been baptized or something, they thought they were good enough that God would definitely let them into heaven. They did not understand the gospel, even though it had been, week after week it's proclaimed to them clearly there. And so I'm always just baffled, but this just kind of hit me this week as I was getting the opportunity to share the gospel with Dino, because that was his statement. I'm good enough. I've done all these great things. And you know what? God is proud of me. And he's glad I'm on his team. That's how bold he was. And so at that moment, after they have the opportunity to tell you all the different good things they've done, or whether they've been baptized, or whether they've been at church, then you have the opportunity to say, okay, so you believe then that God's standard is whatever it is. You've been baptized. So you believe that God's ultimate standard, that God's standard for you to be accepted by Him, is that you've been baptized before, or that you pray every day, or that you have a Bible, or that you go to church regularly. You have the opportunity then to confront them right there on that issue with why they think that God is going to accept them. And so when I had that opportunity with Dino this last week, it was that was what I had just addressed with him. So you think that because of all the good things that you've accomplished in this life for other people, that God's going to accept you because of that? You think that's God's standard, that if anybody and everybody else did the same thing, they would be accepted by God? And so he kind of stumbled a little bit and gave a few other answers. And so I said, well, let me tell you what God's standard is from God's word. Let me tell you what God says his standard is. And so I was able to walk into our fourth point, which is proclaim Christ. We need to remember, I know it sounds silly, but have the opportunity, if you have the opportunity to proclaim Christ, proclaim Him. Be bold. Step forward. Proclaim Christ and all that entails. We'll talk about that. And so when I addressed him as dealing with, okay, so this is God's standard for you, this is what you think God's standard is, I was able to take him, actually what played into great help in my opportunity with this young man was Pastor Brian's series so far on the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew. I mean, just given me a grasp of, here's God's standard. It hasn't changed. It's not going to change. And this is what he requires of every single person. And so I would take him to, and here's where your card comes in, because you don't even have to have the verse completely memorized. Here's the card. On the back of the card, you have the gospel message. And you can use that God is perfectly holy. And the verse that we have on there is Matthew 5:48, which says, therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's God's standard. So it doesn't matter how religious a person might be. It doesn't matter how many good things a person might have accomplished in their life. It doesn't matter whether they go to church week after week or whether they pray or read their Bible. What matters is that before God, he requires that they are perfect. Perfect. And so, that's when Dino piped in and said, well, you know, there is nobody's perfect. Then we're all sunk. Which I thought, yes, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. I'm not perfect by any means. Nobody on earth is perfect. But there has been one who is perfect. And that is Jesus Christ. Well, he went on to say that, no, Jesus wasn't perfect. He was a good teacher. He was a good man. And so, unapologetically, or without saying sorry, I can just go to the Bible and say, well, let me tell you what God's Word says about Jesus. And that's where I took him to, again, this order is a little bit different on here. Man is dead in sin. But you've already have established that when you're saying, here's God's standard. And you go to Romans 3:23, tell him that all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. And then where I went with him was 2 Corinthians 5:21, which we already read, where it says that he knew no sin. He had no sin. He was perfect. Even 1 Peter 1 says that he did not sin. Jesus Christ was indeed perfect. He never failed. He is the only one that meets God's perfect standard. And so we had a great so at that moment he just allowed what the Bible had said. Now other people are just maybe they're going to say, "Well, I don't believe the Bible. You believe the Bible? I don't believe the Bible." But that doesn't mean that we don't still just stick with what God's Word has already said. We stick to it. We don't go down some rabbit trail. We just say, you know what? This is God's Word, whether you really do think that it is or not. This is God's standard. And it's completely objective because it's from Him, the perfect God of the universe. And you can, if you're going to come to Christ, if you're going to be accepted by God, then you have to come to God on His terms. And His terms are perfection. His terms are perfection. And so the only way then that we can come to Him is to go through the one who knew no sin, who was perfect in and of Himself because He was God, and that is Jesus Christ. And so you can take Him to passages like Romans 5:8, which is on the card, but God demonstrates His own love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That Christ is the mediator between God and man. And you are just proclaiming the truth that you know, that you have committed to you yourself as a Christian. You're explaining to them from God's Word what He says about His standards. And you're calling them to recognize that here's God's standard. You don't measure up. I don't measure up. And you have to come to grips with this if you want to be accepted by God. We don't rewrite the script. We don't establish our own rules, our own terms. If God is God, which He is, then He is the one that establishes the terms. And these are the types of things that I was able to address with this young man. And then once you have dealt with the fact that God is perfectly holy and His standard is perfect and that man is dead in sin and that they have failed and fallen short of the glory of God and that Jesus Christ is the only sufficient means by which somebody could have eternal life. I even got to talk about John 14:6, that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but through me." There's plenty of passages. And once you've gotten to that point, then I think the place where a lot of evangelism falls short is this final step. And that is calling them to repentance. So a part of proclaiming Christ is proclaiming God's standard, showing them that we have all sinned, and they know they have, and telling them of Christ and His kindness and the glories of Christ and what He's done and accomplished for anybody who would place their faith and trust in Him. And then you're calling them to action. That doesn't mean that at this moment you have them pray right there. I mean, if they want to, we want to encourage them to. But this is the opportunity where we call them to repent and believe in the message that we have just proclaimed to them. And so we can take them to passages like Acts 17:30 again, which is on your card. "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent," must repent. If you want to be accepted by God, you must repent. You must turn from your sin. Confessing it to God, acknowledging that you're a sinner, asking for His forgiveness, and leaving it there with Him, repenting, turning away, and you must believe. And you can go to John 3:16, a well-known verse. Maybe even they'll know it. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." We want to call them to respond to the message that we have given to them. We don't just present the facts. When we have the opportunity, if it allows it, if they allow us to continue, then at that moment we want to take the opportunity to say, "Okay, so what are you going to do with this message?" And we proclaim Christ and that you must believe, must repent and believe. And oftentimes you'll have to explain what believe means, what it means to trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We tell them One, you have to acknowledge that these are facts. That Jesus Christ really did come, that He is God in human flesh, and that He lived a perfect sinless life, and that He died on the cross and rose again on the third day. You have to acknowledge that as true. But it's not just, "Okay, I believe that, and you're good." But then it is also committing yourself to that. So when you've repented of your sins and asked God to forgive you, then you are committing not only your mind to the truth, but also your will. That you are now committing yourself to Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior and Lord. I believe it's Acts 16:31, where it says, "You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." We are coming to Him as our Master. And so we are giving up our lives for His. We are bringing ourselves to Him and submitting ourselves fully and totally to Jesus Christ as our Master. That means we are saying no to ourselves and yes to Him. That means He calls the shots from this point forward in your life. You won't be perfect here, but you will be being made perfect and more into the image of Jesus Christ. And so we are proclaiming to them that it's not just believe these things, or once, you know, back in the day, if you prayed a prayer and acknowledged that Jesus was Lord and Master, that you're good, it's have you truly submitted yourselves to these truths about Jesus Christ? And so, it really is not too difficult. I know every time I step up to, well, at least the first door, I've got nervousness. It is, I stumble around my words a little bit. It's almost like my preaching here. every single time I step up, there's just this rumbling inside of me. I'm nervous a little bit. But we're there for the King. We're not there for ourselves. We're there for His glory, for His purposes. We're there out of obedience. We're there because we want to please Him. We want to hear "well done" by Christ when we see Him in glory. And so we want to, as we go door to door, be prayerful. Constantly be praying. Pray without ceasing as you go to each door. Be praying for opportunities to answer this those people wisely. Make sure to be respectful. We're there to honor God. We're there out of compassion because we feel the same feelings that Christ does for these people, not to the extent that He does, but we long to see them come to Him. We long to see people repent. We ask questions so that we can have a better understanding of where we meet them so that we can proclaim the gospel to them more clearly, more accurately. And then we just proclaim Christ. We proclaim His standard. We proclaim that each one of us is sinners, that man, that young woman, that old lady that's standing before us is a sinner. And that they need a Savior, and that Christ has come. He has paid the penalty for sin. And if you repent and give yourself to Him, He will save you. So I believe this is one of the ways that we can present this truth to people door to door, as we're at the grocery store, wherever we might be. And that will be biblical, that will honor God, and get us to the point where we actually proclaim the full message of Jesus Christ so that they can repent and come to Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the grace that You have shown us in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You for the privilege that You have bestowed upon us to be ambassadors for the King. Lord, we get the opportunity to proclaim Christ, to tell of the wonders of Christ, to tell of all that Christ has done on our behalf. We have been given a great privilege. And yet, Lord, at times we don't see it as a privilege. Even to the point that oftentimes we just don't even do it. Lord, help us to be obedient. Stir in us a longing and a desire to obey You in the Great Commission. Lord, be with anybody here that maybe was thinking of just passing this evangelism campaign by, that maybe they could set aside something in their schedule so they would be able to go on one of the days and be a faithful ambassador of Christ. Lord, stir in our hearts to do what is right and yet to honor You and to have a desire to do it out of a love for You, for Your glory, not for our own. Lord, we trust You. We thank You. We praise You. Lord, may Your message go forth this week from our church. Lord, if You would be so kind as to awaken a lost soul, as to bring a dead man to life, unto salvation. And if not, God, we praise you as well, because we know that you are sovereign and that you will work in the way that you see fit. Lord, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.